Good morning. Welcome to the service this morning. Welcome those who are online as we continue to take and rejoice and celebrate in the nice cool day that is ahead of us today. I don't know what Desert Hills is, but I hear Tucson's going to go to 101. So I know you're down here in the south just basking in the coolness. The amount of people that were got out early walking this morning, I went, yeah, it's because, you know, they don't want to do it any later than they are. Well, one of the gracious things, I'm Pastor Craig Larson, Pastor Mike Sager. We get to be here and celebrate God's love and care and grace with all of us as we continue to take and know Him as our Lord and as our Savior. As we begin today, we begin, as always, with the mission statement for those who are online to hear that promise that God has made to us. For truly at Desert Hills we celebrate,
grace.
We make,
disciples.
Who?
Make
may it always be among us as we continue to take and live out His promise. A couple of announcements as we continue. Not that you, Barb, this is her last, then she's taken off for some crazy part in the summer. I don't know why she would leave this place, but still, you're not alone. And so thanks to the choir, and you guys are going to have the summer schedule there in the transition. Diane, are you up there? Okay, there. See, you're all in white. So Diane's taking care of the summer choir. If you're interested in singing for the summer, talk to Diane, as truly we continue to take and have all of those voices. To note some of the things that are coming this week, we're going to be having a celebration of life for Rosie Hussey, and that will be May 5th at 11. Also with Kathy Odey on May 9th at 11. For both of the cases, if you're able to come and show your support, please do so. If not, please continue to take and remember both families in our prayers as we truly do celebrate the resurrection that God has given. This is the last weekend for the social concerns. Here's your opportunity to say this in church. On the count of three, one, two, three. Would you ever have thought you would say that in church? It's an opportunity again to come and gather. This is the last weekend for it. If you bring stuff in later in the week, we'll make sure that it gets to the right place. The Women's Ministry Luncheon is going to be held May 8th on Monday. Tickets need to be purchased by May 3rd. So just note that, and then that takes off for the summer. Today we get a chance to take and recognize the Gideon's International. And it truly is, and you'll see it around, but we'll be showing a video. And then Larry Ashby will say a few comments afterwards. Let's roll the video.
What is the power of a book? For some, it's an escape. For others, it's information. For many, it's an adventure. For us, it's truth, the foundation of our faith. It changes who we are to the very core. It brings hope, strength, comfort, direction, protection, answers. It confirms our identity and reminds us we are loved, that we have worth, that we may be forgiven. That's the power of this book. It's a message that can give someone life. And we believe that everyone needs to hear this message. But there are people all across the world who've never held a Bible in their hands, who have never read it, some who don't even know it exists. But they need to. And with your help, they can. We're called to share the Word of God with the world, from those right next door to those all across the globe. And in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions, our members desire to leave no person unreached. We're going to the ends of the earth to bring hope to people who need it. And as long as there are people who do not know Jesus, the work of sharing this book with the world is not finished. Our work is not finished. Because if we have nothing else but the Word of God, we have everything. We lack nothing. That's the power of the Bible. It offers eternal life. Join us in bringing the source of truth to the world.
The video says that God is revealed in the Bible. We Gideons believe that, and that is why we spent the day at the University of Arizona passing out scriptures. It's why we have a booth at the Pima County Fair. And it's why we're here this morning, a tradition that started in 1994. We covet your prayers, and we would appreciate your contributions. For under $2, we can place a New Testament with a student. For just over $5, we can place the full Bible in a motel or hotel. Gideons will be at the exits this morning with an open Bible to place your offering in. Or ask for one of our flyers so you can mail in your contribution or get more information. We want to thank you for allowing us to be here today, and congregation, thank you for your attention.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have called us. You have gathered us here to come and to worship and to give you our praise and thanksgiving, O God, for you are the one that has come into the world to give us a sense of our forgiveness and the hope that comes from believing in your promise that you are with us always. Lord, as we continue to take and recognize and see this service, O God, help us, Lord, to be filled with that joy and that wonder that you truly are the one who loves us, cares for us, and continues to make this journey of life with each one, helping, encouraging, and giving us that which we need. We pray all of these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son,
God, our shepherd. You know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord. Second reading today is from John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the voice of the Good Shepherd, the King of Love, fill you this day with hope and confidence, both here in sanctuary and online. Amen. The phone rang, and when I answered it, I was informed that we had kids running up and down the hallways, causing all sorts of problems. It was midnight, and those of us that were leaders were gathering to talk about the next day when the phone rang. So that night, and the next night, and the next night, those of us were leaders stationed ourselves in the hallway all night, leaned up against the walls, making sure that the teenagers stayed where they were supposed to stay. We had about 1,000 high schoolers in the hotels. And we were gatekeepers, keeping the kids where they were supposed to be. And every now and then you would see a teenager open the door and stick their head out and look each end, seeing if anyone was there. And when they would see us laying there, they would jump back into the room, knowing that they had no escape. Being a gatekeeper. Oh, I can think about the time that Kristen and I were walking our neighborhood, and all of a sudden we heard voices of teenagers. And we looked up, and there in the front yard of one of our neighbors was a young man holding his phone, taking a video as he pointed up on his roof. And there on about a 60-degree pitched roof were two teenagers holding their skateboards. And their plan was to skate down their roof and land on the ground somehow safely. Kristen immediately walked over to them and says, "Guys!" And she gave them that look. She needed to say no more. And they walked back into their house, got back off the roof, and continued on with life. She was a gatekeeper. She did it to try to keep those young men safe, because she, as a neuro nurse, knew what would happen when they landed on the ground. And it was not a good thing for their bodies. Being a gatekeeper. There's real positive things about keeping people safe. Keeping them out of harm. So what's the problem with a gatekeeper? Well, we hear in today's gospel lesson that Jesus has a problem with the way the Pharisees thought themselves as gatekeepers. To understand today's gospel, you have to go back a chapter. Right now we're in chapter 10. You need to go back to chapter 9. Because in chapter 9, what you'll discover is that Jesus and his disciples were walking into Jerusalem, and there they encountered a man who was born blind. And if you remember the story, his disciples looked at the man and asked Jesus, who sinned? The man or his parents? Because for some reason he was born blind. There has to be a reason. There has to be sin involved. Who did it? And then we hear that Jesus bends down and takes some dirt. He spits into his hands. He mushes it together and places it on the blind man's eyes. He tells him to wash his face and he's able to see. And that's when the gatekeepers step in. They call this man who was born blind before them and they begin to question him. They don't praise God that he's healed. They don't give thanks for the miracle of that day. What they're concerned about was who did it and why did they do it on a Sabbath? They saw their job was to somehow gatekeep what God was doing. They were concerned about their power. They never once asked what this man experience in the healing. What they were concerned about was that the laws in their understanding were broken. And they immediately wanted to close the gates to that man. And you discover as you read through chapter 9, they in fact kick this man out of the synagogue. They no longer let him worship with them. And Jesus comes to him and not only offered him life of his eyes, but new life in Christ. Then Jesus turns to the Pharisees and begins to tell them these two stories. First, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, if you look at Israel's history, those Pharisees, those leaders, are called to be shepherds of Israel. Their calling as leaders were to be shepherds, good shepherds, leading their people into life. But we hear in this story that they did not rejoice and give thanks for what God was doing. Instead, they went after the man for being healed. That's why Jesus says, these shepherds that come to destroy, these shepherds that come to kill are not good shepherds. They attack the man's faith instead of encouraging the man in his new sight. But we're told, after telling this story, they don't get it. They don't understand what Jesus is saying. Even though we know the 23rd Psalm. Even though we hear the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. They don't understand what Jesus is talking. And instead of Jesus trying to explain them, Jesus doubles down. Not only is Jesus a shepherd, now he's a gate. That's even worse. I can understand a good shepherd, but how can Jesus be a gate? But Jesus says, now I'm the gate. And what's interesting about this gate is not to keep people out. This gate is meant to allow people to go in and out. These sheep to go into the pen where they're kept safe. Where they can sleep at night because they know they have a shepherd guarding the gate. And the gate is also a way for them to go out into the green pastures and find food and water. If you've ever gone hiking in BLM land, you'll often discover that there is fencing all around their land. And it's usually barbed wire. And if you try to get into that land that way, oftentimes you'll get hurt. Or you'll get caught up or you can't get your stuff in. But if you know where the gate is, it's very easy. It's wide open. They're not trying to keep you out. They're just trying to get you to go through the right way. So you can go into the land and enjoy it. You can bring your backpacks. You can bring all your items in as long as you go through the gate. But if you try to get in some other way, you oftentimes get tangled up. You get caught in the barbed wires. You hurt yourself. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. that Jesus says, I'm the gate. I'm the way that you go in and out of life. I am the way that you find comfort and peace, but also that which you need. I am the way. And when you go through me, it is easy because you will hear my voice. Now, what's amazing about sheep, despite the fact that they have a bad reputation, though they're not the smartest animal on the farm, one thing sheep are really good at is listening. They know their shepherd's voice. They know the voice of the one who cares about them. And if you go to sheep and they don't know you and you try to call them, they will not follow you. They will, in fact, run from you. They follow the ones they know, the voices they recognize, because they know that person will lead them to water and to food. That person will care for them. Jesus is telling us the same thing. Jesus is telling us this morning to listen for his voice because he's the one that cares for you. These other voices are not there to care for you. They are there to destroy you. They are there to destroy and steal your life from you. It is Jesus that offers you life and invites you to follow. Again, if you think about the 23rd Psalm, when David describes God as his good shepherd, he reminds himself and us that even when he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, even when life seems the hardest, he will not fear. And why won't he fear? Because the Lord is there with his rod and a staff. They bring me comfort, not to punish me, but to guide me, to remind me that God is there. That's what Jesus is telling us today. That Jesus is telling us that he is the good shepherd who does not abandon us in our times of struggle or stress, but is there guiding us. The writer of John is writing to a Christian community that's being persecuted. The Gospel of John is the last of the four Gospels to be written. And the early church has experienced a lot. Many of them have been kicked out of their families. They can no longer worship at their synagogues that they were part of. And they're wondering, how can we make it through? Is this worth it? And John is reminding them and us that we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd that brings us comfort and peace. We have a good shepherd that leads us into life of abundance, where we hear the voice of Jesus calling us by name. That's the promise of Jesus. And that we will make it through. We'll make it through. That promise that we'll make it till tomorrow helps us get through today. That no matter what we're facing at this moment, God will lead us through, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is preparing a banquet for us. God is leading us through those difficult times. Jesus is the good shepherd. Unlike the Pharisees who attacked that man who was healed, Jesus welcomed the man who was healed and showed him new life. God's life in the kingdom. And this morning, Jesus wants to remind each of us that Jesus is our good shepherd. That Jesus is here to give us comfort and strength, to lead us into new life, to give us the food and water that we need to be nourished, and that Jesus calls each and every one of us by name and invites us to hear and to recognize the voice of God, the one who really loves you and cares for you. That's the promise. That's the problem with gatekeepers when they are about themselves. The good gate opens us up to what is good for us. The good shepherd worries about us and cares for us. not themselves. And that's the type of God we have. We have a God who will go to whatever length it takes to let us know God loves us and God is there, guiding and strengthening us, calling each of us by name. So if you'd like to go a little deeper in today's text, I invite you to think about this. How have you experienced gatekeepers in your life? Maybe you've played that role. Or maybe you experienced gatekeepers keeping you from experiencing sometimes what God may be doing in your life. And how might this understanding of gatekeepers help you see it in a new light? How can we not be gatekeepers that keep people from God's kingdom, but how can our lives be a way that others may enter into God's kingdom? How can we celebrate with one another what God is doing in each other's lives, even if we don't understand it? Even if it feels different than what we've experienced, but we trust that somehow God is working because together we hear the voice of God. Because like sheep, we are in this together. We have a shepherd that walks with us, leading us to life. Let us rejoice and give thanks for all that God is doing, that God is speaking to each of us, and that we can be gates opened to one another so we may experience together the grace and love of God. The good shepherd knows you by name and calls you to come and follow him into life. Amen.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We will now have the gathering of offerings. The psalmist in Psalm 23 declares the word of God, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, prayers, and gifts of time, talent, and treasure for your mission in the world to bring good news, help, and hope for all people. God of new life, bring us hope. We remember those who have recently died, including Joanne Franson, Joe Hunt, Bob Brunke, and Emma Conklin. Oh God, receive them into the arms of your mercy and everlasting peace. And may the truth and promise of God's resurrection bring comfort and hope to their families and friends who grieve. God of new life, bring us hope. New to our prayer list is Kent Green. We take time now to silently pray for those who remain on our prayer list, as well as for others in our hearts and for situations in our lives. God of new life, bring us hope. O God, our loving shepherd, we come to you seeking your strength and love. As the good shepherd, you both protect us with your tender mercies and provide a pasture of abundant life. Help us to see you in the very living of our days, so that we might offer you both our praises and our burdens. God of new life, bring us hope. We pray for those in need, those who hunger or are homeless. We pray for those in pain, the abused, brokenhearted, and lonely. We pray for the sick in body and in mind, and for those who grieve. We pray for the life of this community and all those who put their trust in you for their todays and tomorrows. God of new life, bring us hope. Free us, Lord, as your own people, to sing your praise in the work of our everyday lives, in those comings and goings of our simple and complicated living. Make us instruments of your peace and grace in weary days with weary people. We give you thanks for the good news of your love. Bless Gideon International and all those who share your love with others and are willing to proclaim your gospel. May your word go out to all the world and your name be praised by all who hear and trust your promises. God of new life, bring us hope. Please stand as we join our hearts and our voices to sing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
I pray that this service has been a blessing for those that are here, those that are online, as we are continually reminded of God's love, care, and the promise that he gives to us as that good shepherd. And so hear this promise and hear this blessing today. May the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, provide us with every good thing we need in order to do his will. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn.
Go in peace as witnesses of the risen Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.